Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yay, you guys. Welcome back to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
And I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
And this is part two of our return.
Yeah, which I called ketchup and sriracha.
I think you're smart.
We're having a ketchup. You know what's crazy is you have not had coffee in a year.
It's been the last time I had coffee was when my mom was in town in January because I was like, I'm just gonna have an Americano and see how it goes. And it didn't go great.
It did not go.
It turns out I'm okay without caffeine, guys.
You know, I have to say, I have switched over to mushroom coffee. I mean, I'm like, I might have to contact them if we get back into having, you know, rolling some ads for brands we like and all that stuff.
Sure.
This brand advertised to me on Instagram. It's called Rise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, girl. I am someone, I've been drinking coffee with my dad since I was 13 years old. Like, I am a coffee girl. It is ingrained in my DNA. But I finally, at age 44, realized it makes me feel like shit to drink it on an empty stomach first thing in the morning and sets my nervous system up for total fucking failure.
Total failure. Absolutely. Well, because, you know, the more research I started doing into it when I was like, oh, I shouldn't be drinking this, it's like the acidic, the pH level of coffee is like on par with battery acid. So that's fun to think about.
Yeah.
There's a nutritionist podcast I like to listen to, and they talk about diluting, like an Americano is great for you because it's just that little shot of espresso and then it's diluted with water. So it's like not as concentrated as like a full steeped like pot of coffee, depending on how you drink it, as far as like acidity and how much the caffeine could really affect you and make you cray cray, you know.
Cray cray. Yes.
I did have a little bit of adaptogen tea with a little green tea in it earlier this week that I kind of diluted with water, and I did fine on it.
Yeah. Well, the reason I like this Rise mushroom coffee is because like it does have a little bit of caffeine in it, but it's like blanketed and sandwiched between, like you said, like all the adaptogenic mushrooms. So it goes down in a way where I'm like, ooh, like they're not lying. I always think people just want to lie to me, you know? And I was like, nothing will ever replace coffee for me. And just one day I was like, I am just shaking like a leaf every morning and I already have anxiety problem. Like I've just, again, we've all been on these journeys. Like you've been on a gut healing journey. I've been like on a, which is tangential and sort of the same as like getting my nervous system balanced, because they just keep learning more and more that my anxiety and panic is not like a brain disorder. It's mostly your nervous system and your vagus nerve that are fucking out of whack, which then send messages to do the whole fight or flight thing. So it's not like, I don't know, it's crazy. I've spent many years being like, oh, I'm sick and I have a mental health, and I'm not diminishing any of it, but so much of the healing you can do is actual physical, not just going, my brain's broken.
No, and a lot of it is because of inflammation. When you're talking about nervous system stuff, that's, it's really interesting to go like get neuropathy treatments done with like acupuncture. You know, this is the esthetician in me talking right now. Ooh. But like drinking adaptogen teas every day or having something like mushrooms is going to help to fight and combat inflammation. And when we're fighting that, our organs work better. We're getting like we're able to heal ourselves better. Our nervous systems chill out. So like these are the things, and we're just combated by bullshit every single day.
Yeah.
Whether it's air, whether it's what we drink, whether it's what we eat, whether it's the stress we get. And so these are the things that help us reset. And adaptogens are some of the only things that are actually proven to be like anti-cancerous and anti-inflammatory on the body that are like totally natural. So I'm a big fan of all that.
I mean, listen, we had you, you're like a cider slut and a mushroom bitch. And
yeah,
and I love you for that. And it took me a while to kind of, you know, cause like habits die hard, man. Like coffee is an emotional thing too.
But oh, it's ritual. It's beautiful. It's ritual, I mean, emotion, I'll still get a decaf Americano just cause I want the flavor, you know, like it's not the same. It's like drinking Coke Zero, you know, kind of, but I don't even do that often. But but I need like the flavor of coffee, the smell of it. It's just, it's so inviting. It's so like, gimme. But
I think the larger point of me also saying this was like servers before a shift, you know, how like everyone kind of has their like, I got to ramp up on something, and whether it's super unhealthy, whether it is just, you know, slamming coffee before a shift, but then you're jittery, then you're overrun, your tables get on your nerves, you can't handle it. I am like telling you, you should have like a cup of this Rise shit, and it gives you focus. It makes you feel really calm and happy and good, but it's also giving you the little jolt that caffeine does. I don't know. I just kind of thought, I'm like, man, like if only I'd had something like this before comedy shows or before a shift at a restaurant.
Oh my God.
Any of that stuff.
I just read this article in Food and Wine that talks about how like different catering at rock shows is, and how it's completely turned a corner where now everything is so healthy and mindful, where it just used to be like sticks and cigarettes and cocaine and whiskey. And now it's like smoothie bars and, you know, it's like a lot of meditation and like healthy, yummy shit, you know, so you can perform to the best of your ability. Like, what a fucking concept to like give your staff at a restaurant like healthy, delicious fuel, and then Intune makes them like their body work better, and then their brains work better, and then they do a better job for your business. What a fucking concept.
What a concept. I know. I just had to publicly say it, that you finally dragged me onto the mushroom train. I was kicking and screaming. I didn't want to do it. And these are not like the giggly ones. These are like just the pure.
Oh, yeah. You know, these are the ones for your brain. These are the ones for your organs. These are the ones for your gut.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Anyways, I just have to thank you publicly.
Oh, my God. I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much. So let's dive into, we have so many headlines, you guys. I'm gagged by all of this fun shit that we get to talk to you about today. Brooke, you kick us off with this headline because it is fantastic.
It is a great, basically kind of tag on to where we ended last week's episode, when we were talking about these poor employees who were interrogated by a fake priest hired by their narcissistic, completely illegal in nature criminal boss. And now we're like, restaurants, we got to get above board here. The time is coming. The number's up soon, and we got to figure it out. But here's the weird thing while we're stuck in the in-between of everyone saying we have to change, but it is still the system that it is, meaning these are tip-based earners. So a report just came out that finds Gen Z is rejecting everything they've been taught about tipping, and that it could be the start of a big shift. Cool. But before we get, you know, all into like everyone heaping praise on Gen Z and they're going to change, you know, the world and blah, blah, blah. The problem is, though, just because they don't believe in this tipping culture, it also means they are the worst tippers, apparently, of all Americans that are out dining at the moment. Where, come on, you got it said boomers are still the best tippers for some reason. I would say Gen X is.
They're saying 35, just 35% of Gen Zers, like,
yeah, are tipping
at sit down restaurants,
which is like, wow,
where they're saying, good.
That's not good, Gen Z. And so basically, like, you know, they're saying that even though Gen Z has the least money to spend, but they're still going out to eat at restaurants and deciding to screw the tipped workers so they can spend the little money they have on themselves by then kind of standing on a weird soapbox and being like, I don't believe that my money needs to go in your pocket. And also, I don't believe in this system. And it's like, okay, but the system is what it is.
Right. The system isn't changed yet. Yeah. Like, then let's all fight to change the system. Because if that's not the fucking case, then. And here's the thing. The more it's so fickle, too, because, like, yes, you have to tip. Things are getting more and more expensive. They're more expensive than they've ever been, you know, which is crazy. And the more labor goes up, you know, I was just talking with a friend who owns like two restaurants and a bar in L.A. The more labor goes up, especially L.A.'s about to, like, they're going to have to match West Hollywood. And I think West Hollywood is now like $18 an hour for service industry workers. Mm-hmm. And LA is going to match that. And that's going to mean $18 cocktails across the board. And that's just what has to happen to, like, equal it out. Now, I'm talking LA. There's still plenty of fucking places in this country where people are making $2.13 an hour. Right.
Right. Right.
And that is the rub, you know. That's if something costs $10 now and you're not tipping off someone doing that. I mean, you should be tipping across the board in general.
Period. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's just a situation where it's basically like the inflation obviously took all of our money for grocery store goods, going out to eat, you know, because restaurants get hit in their, you know, bank account as well. But everyone being like, how much money for this steak? Well, I still want it. I'm just going to make sure the server doesn't, you know, get that extra $10 that they're like, I'm going to take that extra $10 and give it to the steak and the restaurant, but not the person who waited on me as a tipped earner. And that thinking is just unfortunately very wrong, because it's like the other thing, too, is like the pandemic, you know, basically gave a lot of people also just, like, they're saying there's tipping fatigue because, you know, now you go everywhere and someone's turning that white screen around at you for like every transaction you make. And you're like, wait, I'm just getting stamps. Am I supposed to tip my postal worker? Like, what's happening?
I know. It is. It has made it hard for the tipped industries. I've worked in tipped industries my entire career.
Yes.
Whether that's like waiting tables, bartending, and now as an esthetician. The beauty industry is a gratuity driven industry as well. And even in this article, it says it's not just restaurants, that 60% of women and 46% of men are like only tipping their stylists, their barbers, and, you know, and it is not good. Like, you know, I feel like people used to tip. I have seen it like firsthand where people, I'm just, you know, I put people in trances for a living also. So it's like people kind of walk out with a glowing face and like half awake and they're like, that was amazing. And I get sometimes they forget, but I feel like in some ways I think it's okay to be like, and if you, here's the gratuity, like here's how this works, you know, like, and they're always like, oh, right. You know, I don't feel like it's some sort of gratuity guilt where it's like at the end, you're just like, I don't flip a screen, you know? So it's, until the standards fully change, this is how the game is played. You know,
this is how it is played. And Gen Z, we love you. Come work with us and come work with these old Gen Xers to help unionize and change the nature of this horrible thing that we're all trapped in. But it's like talking about unionizing across the board and getting on board with that. But it's like until it happens and every server who wants this job still is guaranteed a livable income that's salaried or at least like a really, really high base pay plus tips, then if someone wants to tip them or not, you know, you don't get to just opt out of it because it's part of a generation that you're like, I was born into this shit and I don't agree with it. And it's like, well, sorry, hon, one day you're gonna have one of these jobs too. So
yeah, well, all the cool Gen Zers I know are in the service industry anyway. So it's like, I don't even, you know, that's just me. That's just the crowd I roll with. If I'm hanging with Gen Z, they're usually bartending and waiting tables.
Yeah, fair enough. fair enough. But then it is California where it is really good, like you were saying.
Absolutely.
So I totally think this applies, you know, as we span out of our little liberal bubble. Little liberal bubble. I think too, like, it'd be really interesting. Maybe this, I'll write this down as a note, but to just really go down all the things that should be tipped for, period, and how much is appropriate. Because, like, so when someone's like, but my facial costs $200, Andrea, like, they don't know that you have to pay. Like, that $200 is not going to you. So the gratuity, right. You know, and again, like, that system could be rethought. And there are all these things going in where people just think you pocket all the money. And it's like, no, I have to pay for my chair here, my time, the supplies that I'm allowed to use for you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and I'm not the owner of these things. So right. I get a certain percentage. So when you give me gratuity, that literally does. That part goes to just me.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so much people don't understand.
It incentivizes me, you know, so I can keep doing this job, so you can keep coming back to have your wonderful treatments.
Ooh. And you know what I could do? So basically they quote Lizzie Post in this article, who is the granddaughter of Emily Posts, who was an etiquette expert who was it Reader's Digest or so? Sorry, she's really famous, and I'm just forgetting, like, the New York Post, like old time, early 1900s. Etiquette expert. She's very, very famous. So I actually got to meet her granddaughter, Lizzie Post, because Lizzie is a weed etiquette expert also right. She's like, here's the proper, you know, way to handle any situation when it comes to weed, you know. She's really great, but she also does all of the classic things. And so we could probably get her on the podcast, and we could go down the entire gold standard list of every industry that needs to be tipped. And so, but her attitude is tipping is non-negotiable. You Correct. Need to tip. And she's like, you have the latitude to decide how much you want to tip, and you do not need to explain your reasoning, but you must tip for X, Y, and Z and all these things. So I'll see if I could get her.
I would love that.
She's
that
the nicest, coolest. And then, yeah, she could talk about weed etiquette.
Pass it on to everybody.
Give me your fucking money right now.
All right. This next headline I want to talk about. So, you know, in part one, we started, we briefly talked about striking, everything that's going on with it. There's so many different groups across the board, labor groups across the board that are striking. But fast food workers are organizing like crazy, mm-hmm. especially here in California. So, you know, even as of last week, hundreds of employees at restaurants like McDonald's and Domino's have been picketing. And for years, LA fast food workers have been organizing to demand better conditions in their industry, facing lowest wages, tough working conditions, and even the highest levels of homelessness amongst workers, right? So people who are unhoused but still get paid shit to work at fast food joints. So basically what happened was, Gavin Newsom signed into law a bill, 257, the Fast Recovery Act, which would basically put fast food workers in check by organizing like a panel of like 10 people to oversee all the fast food franchises in California to make sure that basically like working dish conditions are good for workers and that they're getting paid fair wages. So the blowback to this is that the people who are fighting this, like the people who own the franchises, like McDonald's, like they're saying that because they're franchises that you're basically attacking small business owners. Okay. Mm-hmm. And people don't like, I feel like buying a franchise to a McDonald's is like a pyramid scheme in so right. many ways. Like,
right.
Because you're still owned by like this overlord, right? If you own a franchise to like a fast food chain where they're sucking like so much money from the actual owner of the franchisor. And they also put rules on the owner of the franchise to be like, you can't treat your employees well by paying them more. You'll be breaking a contract like that. They sign contracts like this. And so basically like this bill has been put like on hold and they're discussing it to see if like, because people are trying to fight it. I know it seems like a lot, but Meanwhile, fast food workers are fed the fuck up because they're being treated like shit, working 12-hour shifts and still being below the poverty line. You know, there's a woman in this article, and this is a KCRW article that I'm getting the information from, saying that they were forced to do cleanup, and you know, and it's like, well, why can't McDonald's like hire a cleaning crew to do COVID cleanup? Like, why are we the ones stuck doing this? You know. And we've talked about terrible, terrible work conditions in fast food joints before, Brooke.
Oh my God. I mean, it's backbreaking and dangerous. And just again, with the, because it is quick serve and it gives, oh, it's so, like, you don't get tipped. Like, it's like you're, mm-mm. They act like you're paid enough. And it's like, that's not enough to live on. There was no. Literally a bunch of people were standing with, a woman who was striking against Waffle House. She's like, I have worked here with you for 27 years and I still make $14 an hour. I'm like your most faithful employee. You know, I've been here through it all and you can't give me a respectful living wage. And she's broken. I mean, she was like 47 or something like that. And she was a hard 47. You are just, and I'm not saying that in a mean way. I'm saying like, the work breaks you. The poverty of it breaks you. And
absolutely.
And this was definitely a smaller town in, it was probably a more southern state. So, you know, like that just might be the good job for her there. Cause like, I don't want to hear any, well, get a different job. Like people keep these jobs because of close proximity to where they live and dependable. And, you know, but the rate of what they're paid is just fucking disgusting. When I she's know. Like,
it's terrible. Yeah. So the FAST Act, or it's called the Fast Food Recovery Act, right? So mm-hmm. it will regulate everything from wages to working conditions. And it's slated to go up for final vote or the decision in November 2024. And if nothing happens, it'll eventually pass. But, you know, the powers of would include that you'd get a $22 minimum wage an hour and give annual raises of 3.5%, better standard working conditions, max hours worked, Social Security, insurance, all these things could be guaranteed if this passes. And this will also go, there's this, it's so fucking crazy. There's this list of bills and ballots that are like up, not just in California, but like across the board in the country that are called job killers. And this is on that list because they're saying it would like kill so many jobs because you're basically like making it really hard for like people to like hit their bottom line. So this will create less jobs than more jobs, like because you're treating people better. I'm confused about
whatever.
It.
And let's not forget that you're going to try and replace us all with robots at the end of the day anyway. So cut it out, like cut out crimey more crocodile. I know, old Flippy. I miss Flippy. We got to check in on Flippy and see how that robot's doing, how that burger flipping AI piece of shit's doing. I know, where they're like, wah, our bottom line. They want to replace you with a Roomba, okay? Like,
yeah, just,
you got to get this money out of them. This is just the message that keeps coming through loud and clear. The top percent, 1% of this fucking country, that we do all the good things, we do the hard work, and now we're crying that we can't pay bills. We can't, as inflation goes up and all these companies get richer while we're still stuck at, you know, I can't even get into this whole like entertainment industry strike because you're like, what the like, this is so crazy that these rich motherfuckers can't even lose like 0.2% of their overall annual salary, which for some of them is in the billions, which would give everyone a quality of life for the creative work that they do to put TV you love on air.
Absolutely. And this is- but it's just, you know, it's mirroring all these other industries that are also right. upset. It's the same shit. It's just a different industry, but it's the same story. And right. that's why so many people are striking across the board, right? Yeah.
Right. I know. And it's crazy because the talk of strikes coming up left and right in a lot of different, because like all the, basically a lot of the, you know, app-driven jobs, Instacart, Uber, you name it, they all sign independent contractor, you know, contracts, which was part of this bill that passed. It was like Prop 22 or something. It's really bad. They can't be held as employees. So the companies are making even more money. They changed the business model. And so these shoppers are getting less and less money as the years go by, even though we know like groceries are booming, there's inflation, there's all this shit happening. So like they're talking about like, how do we figure out and unionize? Because I guess Grubhub workers in Canada figured it out and did it. But the problem, and I get this right, is if you're already making $40 a day because you had a bad day on Instacart or whatever, like people are like, I literally cannot put my family in danger to go strike. And that's the part that sucks, is they want us to be so poor that we can't fight them. And it's like,
but that's been happening forever.
Like this for centuries. You know, and so it's we're in a real interesting time.
Agreed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And should we? I feel like we should just segue right
while
into
we're
this
while we're at it. Yes,
next Andrea, headline. Oh my god! All right, so this guys, because of basically everything that we're talking about, and because restaurants are still so understaffed and have had a hard time, like since the pandemic, like getting things, you know, fully staffed and back up to speed. More states are letting teenagers serve alcohol, according to the CNN headline, and in bars and restaurants as a part of a growing rollback of child labor protection across the U.S. So since 2021, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, 9 states have introduced bills to lower the minimum wage for serving alcohol, according to...
Oh, the minimum age.
Sorry. I'm, you know, so much to talk about both, but... Minimum age, yes. So 7 states like Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, New Mexico, and Alabama have all enacted these lowering the age to let little babies serve us alcohol. Okay, so more states are pushing to follow. Wisconsin legislators are seeking to lower the alcohol serving age from 18 to 14 years old.
14
years old. Idaho wants to make it 19 to 17. So the restaurants and industry groups like the National Restaurant Association or the other RNA or NRA, God, the other NRA have pushed these bills as they face challenges hiring workers. And we all know that National Restaurant Association sucks. Of course they would. Of course they would push it.
Anything called the NRA sucks.
The leisure and hospitality sector has had 1.3 million jobs open in May, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So around 80% of restaurant operators say they currently have job openings that are tough to fill. And that's why they're like, well, why don't we just throw some kids in there? And what is the first thing that comes to mind if you think of a 14-year-old serving men alcohol?
There are so many thoughts racing through my head.
Like a 14-year-old girl. My head.
Well, first of all, if you can get her to put down her TikTok. No slam. Sorry, that's grown adults. God. That's us too. No, but I mean, I was going to say before I go down a very dark road of true crime and such a problematic, we do not know. Oh my God. I'm also like, no wonder they want kids to work, because who's even easier to take advantage of than grown adults who are fighting for fair wages?
I know.
Being like, yeah, you're going to get this $2.13 and fucking love it, kid. And there's everything wrong with it. It's not giving them an opportunity. It's creating more opportunity to take advantage of American workforce.
Yeah, it is putting a much higher risk for teenagers to get sexual harassment. Underage drinking, it says other harms, which we all know what I think we can all think about what the other harms would be. You know, and I just think that the restaurant industry already has the highest number of labor laws, law violations, according to the Economic Policy Institute anyway. So
we could barely get out alive as 20-something going into 30-year-olds of surviving all of the work abuses, sexual harassment, dangerous situations you're placed in. And it is like with no union, no protection, the idea of putting a 14-year-old in a bar literally makes me want to die. Now, like, we've had friends come on the podcast who got bartending jobs at 16 because they lied and they wanted to. They fucking
grew up in a bar.
You know, that is so different.
I was 19 when I started, when I was legally allowed to serve alcohol in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And all that made me want to do was drink the alcohol. And I was just like, I want to hang out with alcohol.
Hey, serve it.
Why can't, you know?
Everyone's so cool.
You're thrust into that. The industry that we have to, that's why we have this podcast. That's part of it. You know, it's like, but
suddenly our demographic starts being a bunch of 14-year-olds who are chain smoking and listening to our podcast. Like, just had a fucking double slinging suds.
Right. And you know, it's been about 100 years since child labor laws were enacted. Like, you know,
this is rolling them back completely.
Yeah.
There is no shame. This is the most mind boggling headline I think we've ever.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe had on that.
In March, Arkansas rolled back a number of child labor protections across the state, including a measure that had required employees to obtain work certificates for children under 16. And, you know, since 2018, the U.S. Department of Labor has seen a 69% increase in children being employed illegally by companies. A lot of this is happening in meat packing plants. You know, a ton of it is happening in meatpacking plants. And not only that, it's like your kids are being employed in very hazardous work environments too. Like, not only can, like, you know, your 13-year-old kid lose a finger at a meatpacking plant, but they could probably either like grow up to get cancer by the time they're in their 20s because they're working with hazardous chemicals.
This is why this country's like, this earth, this country is like a ball of fire. Like, it's about to completely implode just because you're sitting here. I just can't wrap my mind around the fact that it's like in so many other countries, I think I've told you this before, and we've been to Iceland together. So There is a type of work that I've told you, like, a lot of young people in general and teenagers all have jobs that are like working at the car rental, working at all the kiosks where you get your food, where you're like, because our country is so terrible and doesn't allow access to well-paying jobs for adults with any sort of skill set, that's why you've got 65-year-olds still working at Waffle House, because there's no other type of reasonable employment they can get, where other countries, these jobs are considered jobs for children and they have deep levels of protection. Yep. They have a lot of protection as young people working. They get their fair wages. It's a safe environment to grow up and to actually be a well-balanced, you know, young person who then moves into whatever their next choice of career is. But I think that's just what blows my mind, is the fact that, you know, that we are about to exploit children now.
I know. I mean,
Once again, even
Lana Del Rey is working at Waffle House.
I
now,
know. Brooke. That crazy. God, I love her. She's down in the middle of nowhere. She was in Arkansas?
It was Alabama. But like, there's Muscle Shoals, and then there's another, I think it's like Fame. There's two really awesome recording studios around that aren't too far from that area. And then there's a reference in one of her songs, Paris, Texas, that references Florence. I think it's Florence, Alabama. So then that's the Waffle House she was working at in there. So I think that's why she may
have been kind of prepping for a music video or a stunt or something fun like that. Either way,
Of course, Lana Del Rey is working at Waffle House.
You know, I had to love that. I had to love that. But oh my gosh, you guys, buckle up, you know, get those kids. If they can, I feel for this really, really young generation, like learning active shooter drills and then going straight to clock into your bar job.
Yeah.
What the fucking fuck? Let's end on some happier news. We pulled some great stories about serving from our favorite Reddit thread called Server Life. And we'll end on funnier, goofier notes. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Works for me. Okay, I'll start with one. The title of this Reddit thread was, "A deaf table is the craziest thing that's ever happened to me." Not and deaf meaning hearing impaired. and it's crazy in a good way. Okay, this is a great story. So I've been serving for years and never had a table where everyone was fully deaf. It was a six top, and I knew the host was, and I knew the host at the restaurant was going to school for sign language. So I went to go get her as she was sitting me another six top. We were busy, and I don't mind getting sat several times with tables. So I was trying to get the host to translate for me, but we were very busy when I was suddenly sat another table. Now I've got two tables. I already had 2 4 tops and 3 6 tops. Now I have 18 new guests, and I'm trying to communicate with a fully deaf table with no interpreter. This is where it becomes the best thing that could ever happen after getting triple sat. The table next to the deaf table had one person that knew how to sign. I went from, oh, fucked, this is really happening, to the lady at the other table. Oh, wait, she says, I went from, oh, fuck, to suddenly, is this really happening? The lady at the other table signed and told me then what they all wanted. It was amazing. People can be so cool. Now, at the end of the meal for the deaf people, I signed thinking I said thank you, but I did it wrong under the chin instead of over the mouth. I felt so bad until they were all laughing. I tried to sign I'm sorry, and that was also wrong. But great tips on both tables. I felt like an ass, still do, but I couldn't have had a better experience serving though. And thank you to the lady that translated for me. You could not have been kinder.
Oh my God, what a great story.
So good. Yeah, so I've never, I mean, I was just like, you're not prepared for those situations if
no.
they happen.
No, not at all. Not one bit, but.
But something good to think about. Worst case scenario, have a plan in mind where at the very least get some pen and paper. That was my instant sort of like.
Absolutely. You can like, get through it together.
Get through it together, you know. And also great side hustle to learn sign language.
Sign language. Absolutely. Okay, let's jump into this next one. So it's Comic-Con weekend.
Which was last weekend.
Yeah, recently. And I worked at a busy downtown restaurant next to the Civic Center. So everyone was coming in dressed up after getting their thrills at the event. Anyways, a fellow server was waiting on a four-top. The guys, one of whom was dressed up as Spider-Man, only got pizza and soda, so the check came to $40.50. And they left, and when she grabbed the checkbook, there was only $40, no tip, not even enough to cover the bill. No tipping is one thing, that's part of the game, but you do not leave enough to pay for your bill? Yeah, yeah. They were going to learn today, for sure. I tell my coworker that they just left, and let's see if we can catch them outside. And she's hesitant, but she comes with me. We run out the front door. We look left, nothing. We look right, and we see Spidey and the crew about a block away. She says it's too late, and I scream at the top of my lungs, "Hey, Spider-Man, you didn't pay your bill!" Got his attention. We flagged them back, and I tell them that they shorted the check by 50 cents and didn't leave a tip, so they never need to come back in.
No, they need to come back in.
They need to come back in, and come back in, which they did. Total walk of shame. And at this point, I get back to my tables, but my manager told me that they had to charge one of their cards for $0.50. She pressed them about leaving a tip, and they said they didn't have enough money. So my manager told them they shouldn't go out to eat them. My coworker still didn't get a tip, but I think we felt better about the whole thing and getting by having to drag them back in. That's a good one.
That's server justice right there.
That's great
justice. Server social justice. And shame on you. You're a superhero. You are supposed to be here protecting us, the people, even the tip-based earners, buddy.
Yeah, fucking Gen tool. Z fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, what a Gen Z Spidey. And I love, too, that like because of the strike, no actors or characters from all of the beloved everything that is Comic-Con was allowed to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I probably would be like, we know that they probably had extra money because they're not spending it all on like the actor swag. So I don't like the Spider-Man story that they didn't have enough money to tip.
Oh, truly, boy, oh, you will. Yeah, you save up all your money, you get a fucking lightsaber and, you know, whatever else. And to get an autograph from, I guess, a TikToker. Like, I don't know who was there. So I have a couple people who were like, my fucking sister's there. She knows there's no one there, but she's pissed and still went. And she's just texting me from Comic-Con complaining how lame it is.
That is hilarious. Yes.
Oh, I love it. Gen Z Spidey is our new. That might have to be a subtitle for this one. Yeah, totally. I'll write it down.
That's so good. Oh, man. Well, I feel pumped. I feel good. You guys, we hope that you have been enjoying this second episode since we are back and we have a lot more coming at you. Meanwhile, you know, obviously get us those server submitted stories. I think personally, we took a big break so you guys could accumulate more stories.
Exactly.
I think that's why we did it. Maybe cats we drained out of the bag.
You. Yep. We mm-hmm. drained you. We wanted you guys to hit the reset button also. Yeah.
We're server submitted story vampires and mm-hmm. we wanted you to replenish your good yummies. So send them back our way, please. Sidewarpod@gmail.com.
Yep. And other than that, yep, you know what we say at the end of every episode. Godspeed.
And good tips.
Gen Z. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.